started in Norfolk, in Virginia Beach in the ECHL. Had a great few months. Was coached back by Eric Veilleux, which was a former assistant coach with the Crunch the past few years, now with the Quebec Ramparts. And he gave me my chance. Wasn't paying, you know, much money, as people sometimes don't know, because they think, hey, you're a professional hockey player, must be making millions. Mistake. And then that's when I started to chit-chatting with few GMs in the AHL. And one day Julien decided to give me a call, give me a contract. And then I became the number five goalie, the fifth goalie of the organization.
Hi there, welcome to the show. I'm Lucas Favalli, and this is Crunch Chronicles, presented by Wendy's. On today's show, we chat with a player who only played in one Crunch game, but was a part of the organization for three seasons. Nick Riopel earned himself an AHL contract to serve as a depth goaltending option for the organization starting during the 2015-16 season. He split time between the Crunch and the ECHL, first with Kalamazoo and then Adirondack from 2016 to 2018. Riopel dressed as a backup multiple times over the two seasons for the Crunch, but he only played once, a relief outing in January of 2018. Riopel's time with the organization ended at the end of that month when he was involved in a series of trades that brought Eddie Pasquale to the Crunch. Riopel retired at the end of the 2017-18 season and began his career as an agent representing players. He continues in that capacity today. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Wendy's new loaded nacho cheeseburger is seriously a game changer when it comes to burgers. It's got cheese, beef, queso, and even tortilla strips. It's so cheesy, it just works. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's loaded nacho cheeseburger. Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Lee Baldwin & Company is a proud sponsor of the Syracuse Crunch. For all of your investment needs, check them out at investtoday.com. Lee Baldwin & Company. You do the dreaming, they'll do the math.
Thanks for the invite, Lucas. I'm always following closely, the activities of the Crunch. Obviously, I spent 2.5 season with your organization. Still close with many former teammates, friends that still play with the Crunch or played in the NHL with the Lightning and elsewhere. So always fun to catch up with the Crunch. As far as for me, I retired, I would say 5 years ago. I was 29 years old at the time. Was in my last year of the contract with the Crunch, and that got traded, I would say in February or close to the deadline here in Bakersfield in return of Eddie Pasquale, which was outstanding for you guys down the road. And then went to Bakersfield, played the most likely in the ECHL in Wichita. Had some, health issues a little bit where, I was losing a lot of weight during the season. I was always a big sweater, but, I don't know what, when you get older, things change a little bit. And I was averaging, between 12 and 15 pounds weight loss each practice or each game. So those like three games in three nights with 10 to 12 hour traveling were getting on me pretty bad. Went to two trips in at the hospital, and the second trip they started to see a little bit some blood in my urine. One of my kidney didn't look that great, and the doctor kind of told me, hey, look, Nick, you're in a situation where it's almost like a concussion. It may never happen again. Or if it happened again, well, you'll need a new kidney and transplant. So I had a few games left in the season, just called my wife and she said, okay, like, do you have enough now? And then at 29 years old, I just felt that, my number was always 29. So during my career, I started the agency business while I was still playing, negotiating my contract myself. With Julien Brisebois, which was the assistant GM at the time. GM of the Crunch, when Stevie Y was in position with the Lightning. And I just felt that if I could spend a little bit more time in the agency business, that it could, you know, be a little bit better for myself. And, you know, my oldest daughter was going in, starting high school. My youngest was starting, you know, middle school. So we just felt that it was maybe the right time for me to pull the plug. And yeah, still 10 years pro. I'm really proud of what I did and what I accomplished. And, you know, right now, 5 years into the agency business, representing Mackenzie Weegar of the Calgary Flames, and many top prospect for the upcoming NHL draft, few former AHLer, former NHLer into Europe's. Things are going pretty well.
Yeah, it's a scary way to, I guess, end your playing career, right, when you go through something like that. But how has it been now post-retirement? Like you said, you've got the agency going. You kind of started before you finished playing. But I guess take us through that process of starting that agency from the ground level and to where it is now.
Yeah. When I was younger, you know, like start to be represented when I was 14 years old, like many you know, elite players, just started in that age. And then I went on with this agent for until I was 21, needed for me to maybe have a switch, maybe more hungry and maybe a bigger agency. And then I switched until the lockout came in. I was about 23, and that's when I decided to go in Europe, kind of be living the family life. And then I thought about it. I was always passionate about everything that was surrounding the hockey player, from, you know, strength coach, nutritionist, psychologist, everything that could help the athlete get to another level. I was always a big, big believer of that. I've always been passionate about it. And one of my friend, well, which is my, you know, partner right now in the agency, Etienne, he's a lawyer as well, just contacted me when I was in Europe, and we had some exchange, and he was always passionate about being a sports agent, and he actually started to be a lawyer because he watched the movie Jerry Maguire. So and that's how it happened, where he has the educational background, the school background. I had the playing career background, the pro upside. So obviously with both of our experiences, we just thought that merging together would help us grow way faster and way bigger. And there's few things that I liked about my agents. There's few things that I would have done differently. And the first rule I told Etienne when we first chat, asking me if I would be interested into starting that little gig, was, hey, I want to represent the players the exact same way I would have liked to be represented. And then years go by, I went 1 year in Europe, 2 year in Europe. My daughter was born in Denmark. Third year was playing in France. I was 26 years old. And that's when I started to see some goalies that I played with or against making their NHL debut. You know, we talk about Louis Domingue, mm-hmm. Which I played with in Moncton, started to play with Arizona Coyotes, which we finally meet again in Syracuse for a few months ago. And then Kevin Poulin, which was another former Crunch, started his career with the New York Islanders. And then Jake Allen, who started with St. Louis Blues. And I just thought to myself, like, what am I doing here, 26 years old? You know, like I was, you know, elite compared to those goalies at the time. So my wife say, hey, why don't you go back? And I thought to myself, hey, I'm living the good life here. Like we're in France. I was on days off. I was an hour away from, you know, the Eiffel Tower, taking a little cup of coffee and cheese and everything, like making three times what I was making in North America. But she always told me, hey, you need to do it because you might regret it at some point once you retire. So let's go back from, you know, back to the ladder. So that's when I decided to represent myself. Started in Norfolk, in Virginia Beach in the ECHL. Had a great few months. Was coached back by Eric Veilleux, which was a former assistant coach with the Crunch the past few years. Now with the Quebec Ramparts, and he gave me my chance. Wasn't paying, you know, much money, as people sometimes don't know, because they think, hey, you're a professional hockey player, you must be making millions. Mistake. And then that's when I started chit-chatting with a few GMs in the AHL. And one day, Julian decided to give me a call, give me a contract. And then I became the number five goalie, the fifth goalie of the organization. Went to back with my mentor, Franz Jean, goalie coach for Tampa Bay Lightning for the past, I would say, 14 years. Yeah. Was my goalie coach for 4 or 5 years with the Moncton Wildcats. We won a President's Cup. He always been my Francois Allaire to, you know, Patrick Roy or to G.S. Giguère. You know, I still look up to him. And the great thing right now is that, you know, we're representing his son, Nika Jan. No, it's come full circle. And, you know, how I start is that there's a lot of players that I played with at both levels, AHL and ECHL, that was asking me, how was your time in Europe? You know, obviously people might know this, but in Europe, the quality of life can be a little bit better just because you don't play 70, 80 games. You play maybe 50, 60 games. You're always sleeping in your own bed. Traveling is way less crazier than it is right now. You don't play 3-on-3s. You rarely play backs to back, and you make obviously more money. So, you know, obviously it's a business. And that's when I started to send some players that were not necessarily happy with the representation, decided to trust me with this. And I made, over the years, many contacts. And I was sending players over the leagues that I played with, that I played in, France, UK, and Denmark, and then started to grow my network while I was still playing for those 2.5 years with the Crunch. And then when I decided to be a full-time agent, well, obviously my knowledge, my time was way more valuable to be spent around my players. And I just think that the services that I gave to my client, because I wanted to represent them the exact same way I would have liked to be represented, was the game changer in our agency. And that's why the past 5 years we've been growing tremendously. We don't compare ourselves again like those the big time agency that represent dozens of players in EHL, but we still believe that we'll get there. And then we just, you know, one day at a time, 1 year at a time, and we try to achieve those little baby steps here and there, and we're now really proud of where we are right now.
I'm curious what it was like for you negotiating for yourself against Julian Brisebois at that point. What was that like? We know where he is now, and he was pretty I'm sure pretty tough at that point when he was the AGM of the organization. What was it like from your perspective?
I always had a really good relationship with Julian. Julian is a guy that has high standards for himself and high standards for the people he's working with. And I believe he saw that in me in terms of how I was as an athlete. I was always, having a high standards in terms of work ethic, being reliable. Obviously, through my career, I've built myself kind of reputation where I had, come out through adversity really, really well, through tough challenges, good character, determination. And I think he respected that when he was negotiating with me. And we were really always straightforward. Obviously, the relationship I had over the years with Franz Jean, well, I think he knew me maybe way more than different player that he's negotiating with, for the first time. And it was always, always having some really good conversation. Hey, he's smart. He's a tough negotiator, but he's fair. So, yeah, I think I got what I deserved, in the meantime, and I was always pleased with my deal. But I'm even more proud that I'm able to negotiate way bigger contract than what I used to be doing for myself back then.
What is the as you've been saying, you've been doing this for a bunch of years now, post playing. What is, I guess, your philosophy as an agent? You said you want to treat your players, your clients, like you wanted to be represented yourself, but what's kind of your philosophy there?
I think the biggest thing right now in 2024 is that the mentality of the new players, the new generation, has changed from my days, from the players before me as well. Is that I think players needs answers, but and they need it quickly, which means that accessibility is something that I'm really, really keen on. Obviously now with all different options of being in contact with someone through call, text, WhatsApp, Instagram, Twitter, emails. Like it's, like you can see if your agent pretty much is online. So if he doesn't answer, well, what's happening here? So I'm really keen on this, and I feel that players also need some recognition. In my days, when the coach wasn't speaking to you, it was a good thing. It's because you were doing things that you were supposed to do. Sometimes you say like, no news, good news. But now it's like, hey, how come the coach doesn't talk to me? Like he didn't tell me like I played a great game, or I just did a good shift. So I think the new generation need a little bit more feedback. The new generation of parents as well. So that's where I think the game is, where I can relate to the player a little bit better, because I was in their shoes not 20 years ago. Like I was there 5 years ago. I never left the game. It's not like I decided to do something else for 5, 10 years and then come back into the game. I never left the game. I was always involved in the game. So I know what the player expect from their agent. I know, and I can relate to them when it's, how does it feel when you get the call of, hey, you're gonna be sent down to the ECHL. Hey, you're gonna be called up. Hey, you're not gonna play again for six straight game. Hey, we thought about it, maybe giving you only a 1 year AHL contract instead of, 3 ELC, what that we discussed. Like all of those things I can relate because I was there. I made some trips, up and down over the years. I've played in both leagues. I did, six NHL training camp. I went over three NHL draft, got finally drafted in my 3rd year of eligibility. So I know all of the process, and I think that's with players that I do represent, and I was representing in the past. That's what they appreciate, is that, hey, the special connection that I have with my agent, like it's kind of a trust relationship where I trust the player to do everything in their power to excel or perform in terms of, work ethic, professional attitude, nutrition, rest. And then on the other side, they trust me that I'm gonna work as hard as them doing, overtime, extra on the ice, extra in the gym, while they expect me to do extra phone calls, extra push, and, sell them a little bit harder. And that's where I can relate, because I know what it's feel like to, train with Powie when you don't play the night and you need to, an extra gym workout in the evening, and you go back home at like 1 and you need to be the first one at the ring the next day. Like I know all of that, and that's where I have a good relationship with my players, because I can relate and what they're feeling right now.
Nick, as we're talking, it's a very busy time of the year. I mean, I'm sure it's always busy for you year round, but right now, you know, we've got trade deadlines coming up, the NHL trade deadline, the AHL trade movement deadline. You've got, you know, CHL players on March 1st eligible to sign, you know, contracts. There's a lot going on. There always is, like I said, I'm sure. But what is this time of the year like for you?
It's, to be honest, it's busy, but as sometimes I'm saying to my family members or my friend, it's a good busy. You know what I mean? Like yeah. it's the time of the year that, yes, it's a grind, but when you have the opportunity to call one of your clients and tell him the good news about, hey, here is the contract, are you happy about it? And then seeing their family, their wife, kids being happy about the new chapter, it's always a great moment. Obviously, I've been kind of prioritizing the European market once I was retiring, just because I'll be straight honest that's where the money is.
Yeah.
And that's where the money was for me at first, because when you go from an AHL contract to nothing, well, even if you have 50 players in the CHL, it's worth nothing. You know what I mean? So that's where I made my knowledge there. But also, I think it's also kind of an extra weapon or an extra tool I can sell to a new player, is that I'm kind of giving you all options worldwide each year. I can options in North America, options in Europe. You don't have to switch agencies in between, depending if you want to go in Europe or, you know, on the other way around. So it's really busy, because the recruitment in Europe starts once the European deadline is over. So February 15 was the European deadline. The 16th, I received, like, you know, a lot of messages from GM. Like, do you have your list for next year? Because obviously, as people might know, the season, the training camp starts late July, 1st of August. So by the time the contract is signed, by the time the application visa is done, by the time, you know, they find the team an apartment, a car, order the equipment, there's so many stuff to do before the training camp. Versus in North America, well, players are going to the NHL rookie camp maybe second week of September for the most part. So that's where they might have a little bit more free time. And then we got the CHL also, you know, it's a last push. We got the three players eligible for the upcoming NHL draft in Vegas, which we will attempt. We're really confident that some of our players will go from, you know, the top two rounds to the top five rounds. So we're really, really happy about it. Obviously, we're going to celebrate it, because it's going to be the last, you know, version of the NHL draft, right, in Vegas, because the followings will be more of the NBA, NFL style, where everyone is probably going to be sitting at home. It's going to be kind of different, but yeah. And then obviously free agency in terms of CHL, overager, trades, AHL guys that are maybe looking to get a new opportunity elsewhere. So this is, you know, early mornings, late nights.
Well, it's exciting for sure. Yeah. At this time of the year, and like we said, all year round for you. Nick, we're flying through our time here, so we'll shift to, you know, your couple of seasons you spent in the organization. The last few minutes we have with you here, like you said, about 2.5 years you spent with the organization, signed in the 2015-16 season, and then you're here for 16-17, 17-18, at least part of the organization. When you think back on your time, you know, with the Crunch organization, what do you think about?
Again, you know, you see the jersey I got here. You know, that was the jersey I've played with the Crunch, but also was fortunate enough to play one exhibition game with the Lightning in my last training camp. After Julian challenged me pretty well on the exit meeting before, like asking me, hey, what's your main goal? I say, hey, playing the NHL. And at that time, there was Ben Bishop and Andrei Vasilevskiy in nets for the Lightning, and told me, well, if you come in and you beat those two, you'll get your shot. So I made sure I prepared myself really well. I came in really, really good shape, did outstanding, my best training camp in career. And, you know, when it was time for everyone to go back for the Crunch training camp, well, I was surprised that and also really happy that Julian told me that they were going to send Michael Layton at the time to the Crunch and keep me with the team. I was there, I think, what, few days before the opening night. So I was following the teams around with, I think, Carolina, Florida. We made a few trips there also in Nashville. So, you know, all of the experience I really enjoyed. But my time with the Crunch was really, really good. Coached by Benoit Groulx, also a French-Canadian that, you know from our time in the QMJHL. Many French-Canadian in the team. Yannick Gord, Gabriel Dumont. Wally as well, which is a big is the mayor, I think, of Syracuse.
But sure is.
Exactly. So if you guys like this, I had really, really good fun. Just to be able, to be honest, like to be able to go back from where I was in France, where a lot of people say if you go in France, it's like you're dead, you know, like you don't try to come back. And I kind of, you know, I had a little chip on my shoulder. I say, hey, like, let's try to prove people wrong here. And when I do decide to came back and, you know, climbed up the ladder. So when Julian called me the first time to offer me an HL contract was kind of a tap in the back, but also to play one game was kind of, hey, like I went from France to go back in the HL was something special for me. And to go, you know, to play also NHL exhibition game at 28 years old, which was really, really rare. Normally, it's you give this to the young guys. Yeah. So no, everything was special about my time with Syracuse. Obviously, I always had the Lightning. It was always really special to see France, my mentor, my really good friends stepping up to the NHL after our boat, like my journey with the Wong to Wildcats in the queue. The Lightning were always special to me. So for me now to wear the jersey, to wear the Crunch uniform, to have the little Lightning in my equipment was always something I felt fortunate. Closer to home, my family made some few trips there. I always had a great time. So only some good memories. And I know the fans really loved it. Between the second and third, I used to grab, a few... bubble gums and, you know, throw it in the stands. So I think few fans still remember that from my days with the Crunch, because unfortunately I think I played one game at the Crunch, but I was like 35 games on the bench. So yeah. I made an impact, but off the ice more than on the ice.
Yeah, I was gonna say you were here for pretty good stretches. You only got the one game, but what did you, I guess, enjoy about just spending time in the city? You know, like you said, with the guys in that dressing room, of course. But you know, meeting the fans, being around here for those couple of years.
Well, I remember when I first started playing pro, I was for the Adirondack Phantoms, which was the AHL farm teams of the Philadelphia Flyers, because obviously I was drafted by Philly. And I remember when we used to go in Syracuse, I believe that time was the farm team of the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I just remember, right, those fans are crazy, you know, like, and they haven't changed over the years. Like passionate fans, they do have high standards for their team. You know, the organization from top to bottom is outstanding. I always have keep having a really good relationship with everyone in the office, you know, coaches, assistant GMs, you know, like trainers over the years. So to be honest, Lucas, I always, you know, Syracuse was always special for me, for my family. And I'll make sure that once I have an opportunity to attend one of the game, it will be again, one, you know, special for me.
Yeah, it's well, that's great to hear. Nick, before we let you run, any final, you know, any closing thoughts, whether it's on Syracuse, about your agency, whatever you want to wrap up with here today?
Well, I just want to thank you, Lucas, for thinking about me, thinking about just to give me the opportunity to talk about my time as a Crunch. Like I said, it was a blast. That's how I kind of ended my career. I'm really proud that I was a member of the Lightning organization, a member of the Crunch, and I always follow the team really closely here, both at the AHL and NHL level. So I just want to thank the fans again that reached me out through my different social media after all those years, and I'm just glad I was part of the members. So again, just go Crunch, go, and it's gonna be a crunch time coming soon for you guys.
We certainly hope so. Nick Riopelle, thanks so much for doing this today. Continued success with you and your agency, and we'll hope to catch up soon in person.
Thanks again.
There he is, Nick Riopelle. We thank him for giving us the time, and we hope you enjoyed the conversation. I really enjoyed hearing about his perspective as an agent and what it was like representing himself at the end of his playing career. That'll do it for this week's episode of the show. Thanks again to Nick Riopelle for joining us. For all of us at the Syracuse Crunch, I'm Lucas Favalli saying so long for now. We'll chat again next time on another episode of Crunch Chronicles.